This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. It's hour number three, Bart Scott. What's that mean?
It's the power hour, 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 hour. Yeah, it's the power hour. And we got a feature, too.
By the way, there are people that can't wait just for that moment. One of those persons we love to talk to, and that is Monica McNutt. And she joins us right now, ESPN NBA analyst. And, of course, she's working the Celtics-Heat series. She's on the radio call as on the sideline. She's also doing like all this extra. She's everywhere. This is what Monica McNutt does.
She better be toast.
And she gets the job done. And she is in Boston right now for this series, game four tonight. You can hear full coverage beginning at 8 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio. Tip off a little bit after 8:30. And Monica is giving us a straight talk on the Eastern Conference Finals. And it's brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Monica, how are we doing?
I'm good, guys. How are you guys?
All right. Let's begin with Tyler Hero is already officially out. It seems like both teams are dealing with injuries. This is three games in, and already it's turning into a real battle, a real fight. On the Celtics side of things, is Marcus Smart good to go? Is everybody else good to go? Or is there some other lingering issues that we should keep an eye on before tip-off?
I was only at heat availability today, so Tyler Hero is the only out for them. All signs indicate so far, I haven't heard anything on the Celtics side. But, I mean, this series has absolutely been a battle of attrition and kind of who's going to be the last crew standing. It really speaks to the physicality of it all. And the guys seem to be, I won't say relishing in it, but they know that it's not going anywhere.
Yeah, it seems like I said, a basketball version of Oregon Trail. The issue is, even if these guys, you know, somebody's got to win this series, what kind of shape are they going to be in to a rested, well-rested Golden State Warriors, who seems like they've been injured all year, but now they're finally healthy.
Yep.
And could be getting reinforcements with Peyton Jr.
It is kind of bleak when you think about whatever is waiting for whichever team survives this one. But you know what? I think neither squad would obviously trade the position that they're in. I think they both believe that they have what it takes and could put together a scheme that would allow them to triumph over the Warriors. But I tell you, the Warriors look scary, to say the least.
Monica, with you covering the series, you being there, right there present, watching Game 3, what stood out to you the most about that game? Because two things happened, I feel like. The Heat were embarrassed in Game 2, and they came in and punched the Celtics right in the face in that first quarter. But then I think the other thing that happened was that they barely held on to win that game. People are talking about how many quarters they've won in this series, despite the fact they're up 2-1. They've only won two of the 12 quarters, all that stuff. So which of the two would you say was the more striking thing for you? What did you see happening in Game 3 that got the Heat over the top and allowed them to take this 2-1 series lead, which I think a lot of us are surprised they are?
First of all, I really want people to stop talking about the quarters because that's dumb. The Heat have found ways to win this series, right? Like, and you could do the quarter math. Like, matter of fact, I'll give you a story. The last time I had the half math, we won in the second half, was when we got trounced by UConn, I think my freshman year, and they were up like 30 at halftime. Like, don't talk to me about halves or quarters. Talk to me about games. Like, who cares? Also, in particular to last game, like, people got to cut it out. Jimmy Butler, you might know him. Like, he's the whole reason the Heat are here. Didn't play in that second half. And, like, the nature of sports, and particularly a guy like Ime Udoka, who was very prideful in a good way and very serious, the Celtics weren't going to lay down. But I don't want to hear about your three quarters when the one that you lost, you lost so badly that you couldn't make up for the gap. Like, the quarter thing is dumb, and it's really pissing me off.
Now, how impressed were you?
Tell us how you really feel, Vaughn. Yes.
How impressed were you with Oladipo's defense? Because, I mean, the points was at a premium and they couldn't find scoring. But I tell you what, their defense stood on their head, led by Oladipo with, defense on Jaylen Brown and Tatum.
I was a little bit more impressed with Vic defensively guarding Jaylen Brown. I mean, he was great. Like, I thought that Vic came in and gave that team what they needed. And he's a guy that's been very candid and honest, even through this series, about what it has taken for him to get back to this point, considering his injury history. So it's great to see him out there thriving. But I did think that Jason Tatum kind of was playing with the ball way too much. Like, dude, what are you doing? Like, and it went back to what we saw in game one in terms of him being a little bit indecisive and not just playing right into the Heat's hands defensively. But listen, pregame, Eric Spoelstra told us that the X factor for the Heat was when they can get productivity out of everybody. And, you know, Doris Burke, great basketball mind, Mark Jones, tremendous play-by-play guy, and then myself. So we're all kind of pontificating ideas back and forth. And before game two, I asked Spo, what about Bam? Like, it feels like Bam might be an area where you guys would have a clear advantage in terms of his size and the different things he does. And Spo pointed out that the thing with Bam is he's far from a traditional center. In fact, he calls him sort of a point center. But he did tell us going into game four, a good game is Bam has had plenty of touches. He's been able to bring the ball up. He's been active offensively in terms of rebounds and passing, right? And that's what you ultimately saw in game three. So the Heat, to me, really live and die by this we as a unit. You know what I'm saying? Put your hands together, you make a fist, trying to slap with a hand is less impactful. And so when they can get productivity top to bottom, like, they're scarier than I think people give them credit for.
Yeah, that's been their part of their culture all the time, right? And that's what makes a lot of these different parts fit. And you, it felt like, Monica, that you were going to get that performance out of Bam Adebayo, especially by the way people were talking about him two games into the series. Where is he? He's got to show up. Way too prideful of a guy to not have the game that he had. But if Miami's going to take both games in Boston and a stranglehold 3-1 series lead, what has to happen? Is it just simply that it has to be the five-man unit thing you just described? Or are you going to need someone to step up even bigger in this game?
So I actually asked PJ Tucker today, because I'm like, dude, what's up with these wild swings? And he's like, he kind of thinks it's the nature of the league and where they are. You've seen it in both series. But I asked him what has to happen for them to string together too. And he really pointed to a level of focus. He's like, we got to be keyed in on the game plan. And you can't have any lulls in your focus, right? And so here goes the quarters. That's all four quarters for everybody counting quarters. But I just think it is. It's in the details. And Spo keeps saying this phrase, plays in the margins. Ime uses the word discipline. But when you really kind of get down to the nuts and bolts of it, that's where this series has been won or lost. Like, whether you talk about the absence of discipline for the Celtics offensively to start the game, or the plays in the margin in terms of defense, diving or after loose balls, stripping guys, getting out in transition for the Heat. So it is, I mean, that's not super basketball-y, but that's kind of where we are.
Well, when you think about it, right, this is going to have to be about the others, right? Because even if Jimmy Butler plays, who knows if he finishes the game. And with Tyler Hero, you know, he's brought in to be that sixth man of the year, come off in instant offense, kind of like how the Golden State Warriors use pool. Is this time for Duncan Robinson to step up? Is this the time where, you know, everybody, the spotlight's on him to see if he can step up and get hot?
You know,
Bert, you sound so
confident. That is a serious case with Duncan Robinson. And I don't know the answer. Our teammate, Wendy, was off chatting with him on the side after shoot around today. I'm curious what that might yield. I don't know what the deal with Duncan is. I do think that to a degree, I just wonder about the faith on the other end of the floor.
Right.
In terms of defense, like, I don't know what the deal with Duncan is. It has been puzzling. And the only real answer we've kind of been able to get is folks are available and Spo trusts his entire roster. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, well, they play a zone when he's out there. So that tells you all you need to know. They try to hide him.
Right.
They try to protect him as best. So the league will humble you with scouting. I mean, that's everybody. And
especially in a series.
Oh, no doubt. When you're playing a team where you know this is just a bad matchup series for us, like put it this way. If the Heat advance and play the Warriors in the finals, I actually could see him playing in that series more than he would play in this series. That's a better suited series for him because they're a little more up and down and not as much. I mean, the Warriors are a very good defensive team.
Have you seen Luka?
But nothing like what you're facing, right? Nothing like what you're facing with the Celtics, but still. I think Boston, obviously is in that desperation mode right now. They really almost won that game in game three and had a chance, but that Strus shot was just a killer shot in that moment. They've got to win this game. For them to win this game and now make this a 2-2, and now we'll know this is definitely going to go seven, just the feeling is already it could go seven. Who is the guy? Is it Tatum? Does he have to have another one of those bounce-back games? Because, Monica, it's amazing to think that two consecutive series he's had now these just flatline kind of performances that afterwards even he doesn't know why it happened. Are we all watching Tatum tonight and saying you're the guy that has to give us another great performance, or is there someone else to watch?
I mean, we love this quote. I think, Han, did you steal this quote from Bart? That past performance is the best indicator of future performance? Who said that? Which one of y'all
said
that?
That's a Chris Canty line. That's a Chris Canty line.
He stole that from Confucius. First of all, cultured sources.
Okay. Well, I got it from our ESPN radio family, but it's true. And so if we're going to go with that, then yeah. Jason Tatum, I would expect for him to bounce back. In the post-game interview after game two, he said to me how much he actually looked forward to erasing his game one performance. So I imagine that cadence doesn't change about him. And then Mark Jones had the great story about how he went about doing that in terms of getting in the gym with his trainer, making his decision-making more decisive, less fumbling with the ball, and making a move, like getting into his move quickly, either to catch the defense off guard or draw a foul. So, yeah, I would expect to see that sort of rhythm.
It's a series where we're just going to find more people on the ground too, right? Have you ever seen so much flopping? I mean, I'm talking about everybody. Next time you talk to P.J. Tucker, can you ask him? He must have grown up with a slip and slide because he knew exactly how to get down. I mean, that looked like it was fun. The way he slid and spun for a minute. Like, it really is something that, I don't know, Monica, you've watched a ton of basketball. You know the NBA. Don't you think it is something that even players on Twitter are complaining about how much flopping is going on? Are you noticing it in person?
So, yes, but I also am like, in person, I appreciate a guy that has a feel for how the officials are calling it. And if they're calling it, then okay.
Okay.
Like, yes, PJ definitely gave us some Denzel, you know what I'm saying, some award-worthy acting performances. But if it's working, why not? Like, sweet.
I'm so happy they finally caught Marcus Smart kind of pulling PJ down, acting like, oh, like just because your hands are open don't mean you can't squeeze with your forearms and fall backwards and make somebody trip over you.
Yeah, that was a critical call also. Yeah, there's definitely a critical
call. And
there's
been lots of little sneaky things to keep an eye on in this series for sure.
Oh, no doubt about
that. Do we get to the point when you have two desperate teams, do we get to the point where we maybe have to have some dust-ups? Because somebody's going to have to take it personal. Somebody's got to either might have to hard foul somebody or somebody's going to have to put some physicality going on to make this chippy. You know, when teams play like this, two physical teams, it's get chippy a little bit. You know, who
There's
knows?
Words. Grant Williams and I think PJ got face-to-face a couple of times, right, in game three?
Yeah, but they're basically just twins because Rick Barnes, like, compares them to one another. So they were just having a little twin chat.
Yeah, they can't even get close to each other because their pecs both protrude out their chest.
I think the only person that's really probably about the smoke, in my estimation, on the Celtics side would probably be Marcus Smart. Like, I love Grant. I think Grant is a terrific competitor, but Grant is also not that guy. Like, grown up.
Nice guy.
And I think Smart is a little too smart, pun intended, at this point in his career to get too reckless. But do I think we're in for – here's the thing. I don't think we get any of that, Bart, until we get a wire-to-wire competitive game. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, that's what I'm waiting on.
That would help. That would definitely help. Yeah, we've kind of haven't felt that way. There's been blowouts in each one of these games. And again, the Celtics did push back. They got it to one, but it's still, it was that first half. You're like, really? Again? It's amazing. But don't talk to Monica about quarters. Don't talk to her about halves. Boy, that's a bad memory. But make sure you just talk straight up about the game. And she'll be part of the game coverage tonight, ESPN Radio. It begins at 8 p.m. Eastern on most ESPN radio stations. Monica, great to catch up with you. All the best.
Always. Talk to y'all later.
I would say enjoy the sunshine, but it's probably kind of chilly. Yeah.
Meh. No, it's beautiful out. Coming up, by the way, is one young star being a little bit overhyped. We'll discuss that after we remind you the NBA playoffs are on ESPN Radio. Tune in tonight, Game 4, Eastern Conference Finals. Celtics host the Heat. It's presented by Indeed, and coverage begins, as I mentioned, 8 p.m. Eastern on most ESPN radio stations.
I'm training Confuciously every day.
The rebounding edge, the shooting of Steph Curry,
The Warriors come back, win by 9. Now they have that 3-0 series lead here in the Western Finals.
So we came out with a certain intensity level and focus level that, you know, it would take to come on the road and still win.
Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 is your number. Your calls ahead, and also, the Golden State Warriors are up 3-0. They won 109-100 last night in the Western Conference Finals. Commanding lead, of course. As you know, no team has ever. In baseball, you've seen 3-0 comebacks. In hockey, you have seen 3-0 comebacks. Bart, in the NBA, it's never happened in a best-of-seven series.
Yeah,
it's never happened. Could the first time be the Dallas Mavericks?
Is it on ESPN? It's a game on ESPN?
No, the Western Conference TV is TNT.
Yeah, I can keep it real. Yeah, it's a wrap. Don't tune in.
Thanks for noticing it is on ESPN Radio. I am part of the coverage.
No, Brody, I was just saying. Like,
oh, you want to?
We can lie to the people. We lie to the people if it's on ESPN. But stop it.
Okay,
stop it.
It feels like it's very close to the end. Luka Doncic went for 40 though. He had 11 rebounds. He was 14-17. He got to the free throw line. Like, he had another dominant game, despite the fact that he was part of a poster. Andrew Wiggins put him on. He still had a 40-point performance. He has had epic performances. After losses, he's averaged over 33 a game at this point, 34 a game at this point in his career in the playoffs. This is a guy that shows up and shows out offensively. But there's a whole other side of the game, Bart, that I feel like that we have put him, and I know I did this with Jimmy Butler, but I just want to say it here. Luka Doncic is a phenomenal player. He's 23 years old. Even he said it after the game. I got a lot to learn. And I think one of the things you and I said earlier in the show is that we hope he learns this, that it's not just about can you dribble, can you shoot, can you read defenses.
Yeah.
It's also about can you get yourself in the elite condition that you need to get in so you're not wearing tape all over your shoulder because it hurts, so that you aren't getting picked on defensively because you don't have lateral quickness, your conditioning isn't to a point where – you can easily just get back on. He needs to make that decision like Joel Embiid made. Is that crazy to say? Am I being a hater if I look at Luka just like I looked at Joel Embiid and said, there's so much talent in you? I mean, I look at Anthony Davis the same way. There's so much talent in you that if you bought into everything, including your conditioning, your diet, everything, and made yourself an elite athlete, the sky is the limit to your potential as a player, and also the sky is the limit to your legacy. Is that hating? Is that me just being a basketball fan that really would love to see another great player emerge? Because he could be the first international face of the NBA. Very close to being that because he's so widely respected.
Yeah, and he's so young, right? So, like, he's Dirk. But we've known about him earlier than Dirk. Like, Dirk didn't start turning heads because he went to a bad organization, you know what I mean? And they had to learn how to win, and they had to build it. You know, he went to a situation now where we all know who Luka is, and we live in a different time where, you know, you can be a star in Europe and still be a star and be known in America. And we've known that he's been a professional for a long time. And, you know, it's not unfair for us to demand that we want to see the best version of itself. This is a damn good version of itself. But it's about when guys have to learn how to be great. And the next step is to be elite conditioning, right?
He admitted he went into this season he was not.
Right.
Now, he blamed it on the Olympics and how he
maturity. That's maturity. It has nothing to do with that, right? We watched Giannis put on 60 pounds before he became the best player in the world, right? We watched Michael Jordan have to make his body – you know, strong, physically strong to make sure that he can make it through the gauntlet that was the Detroit Pistons and the physicality in the Eastern Conference. Luka has to understand he has to be able to keep that engine running at a high level. He may have to play a whole quarter and say, Coach, if I'm like Kevin Durant, I got to play 48 minutes. If that's what it takes for us to win, for me to be out there so that everybody else can get the liberty to get open shots.
How about Nikola Jokic?
Yeah.
You're
the
talking
Joker.
About a guy that he's already born with a dad bod. There's nothing he can do about it. There's only so much he can do.
Exactly.
Guys, like,
it's amazing.
Like a lot of us, he's never going to look good without a T-shirt on. Right?
It's
no matter what he does.
Yeah, it's amazing.
But he did change, and he admitted it. He changed so much about his diet that he became an elite athlete, and all he's done with that is won two MVPs.
Absolutely.
Right? Like, it's as simple as that. So can Luka get there?
It's
That's
amazing.
The thing. But when you have a player like this, and you're the Mavericks organization, I don't out Mark Cuban for a second.
They said they've had
you
the
know
conversations
he's going to do whatever it takes. But they have to also make sure that they build properly around him. Derek Harper, we've talked to him. He's been on our show. He was on KJM, and he talked about the fact that the Mavs need another piece.
I think another star, that's a good question. I think another guy to play alongside him, you know, just to give him some relief. And that's not to disrespect Jalen, who I love as a player, Dinwiddie, instant offense off the bench for you. But I think you need another star.
And the Jalen he references, Jalen Brunson, yeah. Who had, you know, a 19-point a 20-point performance in this game, but clearly wasn't enough. But he had another star in Chris Porzingis, and they moved on from him.
See, but the difference is you have to – Luka requires a certain type of star with a certain type of mentality, a guy that doesn't need the ball in his hands to feel like they're worthy. You need a two-way player. You need a Klay Thompson type of player.
Oh,
you need a guy
that
can shoot, play defense, to protect you, but also a guy that can spread the floor when Luka wants to play iso ball. It's not that many of those type of players around.
No.
And they're
not available if they're rarely available. You know, they are. They're rarely available.
Is Zach LaVine that?
Two-way player? Zach LaVine?
Well, I just know he's a shooter and he's a guy that can get buckets, but that's what I'm saying. Like, you go in and you have to adjust your game. You know how people would say how difficult it was playing with LeBron? Remember how people were saying how difficult it was to play with LeBron?
It's legit and
then
the same thing.
You have to change your game. Remember how Bosh said he had to adjust his game to be able to play with LeBron?
Wade had to take
Wade
a back
as well.
Seat.
And Lucas the same way. If you're a star, you can't be the same player because Lucas going to have the ball the majority of the time in his hands.
Yeah, well, the first thing they have to do is get themselves a shot-blocking big man, a guy that can defend there and not just a shot blocker, but somebody that can switch and defend. And well, that's the other issue, though, is if you get a guy like a Mitchell Robinson, who I think they're going to target from the Knicks, he's a guy that does not space well. Like, Al Horford can shoot three, so he can space well for you, but yet he's still a tremendous defender who can switch and take care of that. Rudy Gobert... He doesn't have the ability. He's a tremendous defensive player, but he's not somebody that can stretch for you on the offensive side. So you have to be able to figure out how you could play with a big man who's going to sit down there in the dunk spot and not space for you. But I think they've got to start there defensively because that is the weakness of that team. But they have a piece that is a generational piece, and he's only 23 years old. And if you see what he's doing in the playoffs already, despite the fact being down 0-3, they certainly have something special. All right, 888-SAY-ESPN. We got more of your calls coming up. Also, a series between two American League contenders was overshadowed by some serious controversy, and Bart has a very strong take about it. We'll discuss next. Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio, and on the ESPN app.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Bart and Han.
That was the call on ESPN Radio on Saturday. It's a heated weekend between the White Sox and the Yankees. And really, this goes back to May, and we'll explain why this is a story that is not ending anytime soon. It's Bart and Han, Alan Han, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, and we want you to think O'Reilly Auto Parts. For your car care needs, they're close, convenient, known for guaranteed everyday low prices and excellent customer service from professional parts people you can trust. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts today. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. So this was Saturday, Bart, but we go back to May when the Yankees were playing the White Sox in Chicago. Donaldson put a pretty hard tag on Tim Anderson. He didn't like it, and they had words then. So then it was the end of the inning, and they were just barking at each other again. It was the third inning, and the inning's over, and they're kind of going back and forth. They're having words, and they had to be separated, so you knew something bad was going on there. And after the game, Tim Anderson explains why he was upset with Josh Donaldson of the Yankees.
Yeah, he just made a disrespectful comment. You know, basically was trying to call me Jackie Robinson. Like, what's up, Jackie? I don't play like that. I don't really play at all. I wasn't really bothering nobody today, but he made a comment, and it was disrespectful. I don't think it was called for. It was unnecessary.
That was when you guys crossed past the shortstop there at the end of the third.
Yeah, but that happened in the first time he got on. And I spared him that time, and it happened again. It's just uncalled for. I got time to be playing like that.
How did you manage to contain yourself based on that kind of comment?
I don't know, to be honest. it was very disrespectful, Just don't want to play like that.
You call it disrespectful. Tony just said it was racist. Is that accurate?
Yeah. Same along that same line, yeah.
Can you say what he said?
You said what?
Can you say what he said?
I just said it.
So, yeah, he references Tony La Russa, also in the postgame on Saturday, said that what Josh Donaldson said was a racist comment. Aaron Boone, the Yankee manager, said that it was also uncalled for, not necessary, all that stuff. Josh Donaldson had this explanation.
First inning, I called him Jackie. Let me give you a little context of that. 2019, he came out with an interview and said that he's a new Jackie Robinson of baseball. He's going to bring back fun for the game. 2019, when I played for Atlanta, we actually joked about that on the game. And I've said it to him in years past, not in any manner than just joking around, but the fact that he called himself Jackie Robinson. If something has changed from that, my meaning of that is not any term trying to be racist by any fact of the matter. It was just off of an interview that what he called himself. We said that before, we joked about it, he laughed, whatever. As you could tell in our series that we played, there's been multiple times where I've tried to defuse the situation. Like I took responsibility for the tag, wasn't trying to do anything there. Today, just trying to defuse it, like, hey, like, make light, like, we're not trying to start any brawls or anything like that. Obviously, he deemed that it was disrespectful, and if he did, I apologize. Like, that's not what I was trying to do by any manner.
Now, Bart, as the series ended, they had a doubleheader because of rain on Sunday, and the Yankees got swept in both those games. And Anderson had a big home run in the second game, and he told the Yankee crowd, which, of course, was jeering him the whole time, to shush, put his finger to his lips to let him know that I just quieted everyone here. But with that in mind, you heard now that both explanations, you know the situation. What are your thoughts?
I think this is a little bit to do out of nothing, and I'm surprised that Tony La Russa would take the bait. I mean, listen, if you call yourself Jackie Robinson, I think that's disrespectful to Jackie Robinson. I'm the new Jackie Robinson. No, sometimes you got to let a legend like that just live. I'll put it in context of what I'm saying. If Shohei Ohtani came out and said, I'm the new Babe Ruth, people be looking at, whoa, 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 whoa. You're a good player. You don't call yourself Babe Ruth. And then you damn sure don't call yourself Jackie Robinson if, you're talking about what Jackie Robinson went through and, to integrate baseball, all he's meant for the civil rights movement. You don't just come out here and just casually say, oh, I'm the new Jackie Robinson. And there's so many other players he could have used that didn't have, like, the historical context, the historical impact on things that's bigger than baseball. When you're trying to compare yourself to a base, you could say, I'm the new Ken Griffey, right? You don't call yourself, he's fishing. If you call yourself that, of course, as a competitor, I'm gonna use that against you, especially if you losing. I'm like, yeah, way to go, Jackie. Yeah, Jackie would have did better than that, son. Yeah, you wish you were
so
Jackie
you don't
Robinson.
Have a problem with Josh
Hell
Robinson,
no,
a white
no,
guy saying
no, because you called yourself Jackie Robinson. know what I'm saying? Like, when I said can't wait, guess what? Every time I played, I miss a tackle. Oh, can't wait, can't tackle. Yo, whatever you say, that's what you got to live with. Now, you compare yourself to a great player. If you don't play great, I'm saying, oh, way to go, Jackie. You damn right. At the end of the day, it's mind games. You're getting into the opponent's head. And obviously, Tim Anderson got upset. He got mad. It doesn't mean it has to be racial. It could just mean, listen, it could mean I don't mess with you and I'm trying to get in your head because you acting like you the man and you just choked. How about that? That's what it is.
Donaldson tried to explain, as you heard him say there, because of the hard tag in May upset things got. He was his explanation was, I'm just trying to diffuse things, let him know, make a little joke, and Anderson didn't want to hear it.
It's become something the league has to – MLB is
looking into it. They're talking about whether or not should he be suspended, should he be fined.
For what? For calling somebody something that they call themselves. How the hell does that make sense? Tell Al Sharpton to pipe down, son. Like, listen, I'm all for the whole, nip racism in the bud. But when you call yourself Jackie Robinson, I think that was disrespectful to Jackie Robinson. No matter how great this player is, you ain't no damn Jackie Robinson. That's like somebody come out, I'm Muhammad Ali. I'm the new Muhammad Ali. Nah, you can't really say that. You're going to sacrifice careers of your life to fight for something that you believe in politically. If you're doing all that stuff, then we can say, okay, you can say that. But if you're just a guy playing baseball, you don't call yourself the next Jackie Robinson. You know how many all the things that Jackie Robinson went through? You ain't going through none of that. Nah, pump your brakes on that one, homeboy.
888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 is the number. If you want to chime in on this and everything else going on in the world of sports, including tonight's game 4, you have the Celtics, you have the Heat, the Celtics trying to make it and even up the series of 2. The Heat trying to take a commanding, and I think a surprising 3-1 lead in that series. And how about on the ice yesterday, Bart? The Rangers, they get a win in their series. They make it 2-1 as the Garden comes through for them, and so did the top lines. We'll talk about that and more coming up next. Barton Hunt, ESPN Radio, and on the ESPN app.
Bart and Hahn.
Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 is the number. Let's grab some calls. We go to James in New York. What's up, James?
Hey, what's up, fellas? How you doing?
Good. What's happening?
Yo, Bart, let me let you know, you're the reason why I got my season tickets to the Jets when I did. When we moved to the new stadium, I knew it. When you came over, this is what we were going to do. You were the real deal. You talk truth. I ain't blowing smoke. I'm just saying the facts that they are. I love that you tell it as it is. Doesn't matter anything in between. The truth is the truth. Right, wrong, it doesn't matter. Tim Anderson is a punk. Straight up. You can't run his lip like he does and then expect everybody else to follow along and go with his belief. If you're right or you're wrong, don't call yourself something that you're not. That just bothers me. It irks me. I'm a Yankee fan to hardcore. I'm a Jet fan. You guys got my heart both sides. I believe in the Jets this year, and I believe in the Yankees this year. And it aggravates me when I hear people like this talk, and they want to call him something that they're not. He's not. Ain't no Jackie Robinson.
It's just bad taste. That's even saying that is in bad taste. Somebody should say, hey, man, you might want to pipe that down.
Thank you, Jay.
You might have picked another African-American great. Pick Willie Mays or something like that, bro.
I thought when you said Ken Griffey, because the article was about how obviously there's not a lot of African-American players in Major League Baseball. He's one of very few. He knows it. He also knows that the sport is kind of uptight. It's always been that way, and he feels like – you want to attract more other people to watch this game and be part of this game. You got to make it a little more fun, a little less uptight. And that's why he was making that connotation in the article that he feels like for this generation, that's what he has to be.
But yeah. Yeah. Like,
it's a pretty like Ken Griffey. When you said Ken, that's probably a better way to, a better comparison, but him hearing Josh Donaldson in the midst of a game say that, and then flipping out the way he did and then turning it into what it's turned into.
Let me guess.
Like, I'm sorry, you're now putting Josh Donaldson in a place where he could get suspended. And Tim, like, deep down, do you really think?
Right. We want to see, this is the thing. Like, this, like, you know, trying to over-report stuff and make stuff that is not. You know what I mean? We want, you know, real acts of racism to be taken seriously. We can't just throw the racism, oh, that's racist, or he said something racist just out there, because when it's something is legitimate, it won't be taken seriously.
It is something that baseball still has to look into. They're interviewing both sides. Donaldson wants to talk to Tim Anderson about it. So far, they have not. We can continue to talk to you about it, though. We'll be back in 10 seconds. Bart and Han, ESPN Radio.
Bart and Han.
Scott in Texas.
I have a question mainly for Keyshawn because he played receiver.
Keyshawn?
And
you got the wrong
pardon
show?
Me?
Keyshawn's on in the morning.
Yes, I know. I recorded it. I'm sorry. So should I call tomorrow morning?
Unless you want to ask Bart.
All right, Mark, a question
Mark.
Here.
All right, tell you what, Scott. Mark and I are going to finish our show.
Bart and Han.
So disrespectful. I mean, just
so disrespectful. Like, how dumb do you have to be to say I recorded it and to think that if you recorded something earlier that the people are still on? You would have to record it, dumbass.
I've heard that we get calls from people that are listening to a podcast.
I want to talk to Bomani Jones.
Yeah, he does a
it's
podcast.
Always the right time.
I want to talk to him now. It's the right time.
It's always the right time, according to Bomani.
Respectfully.
Oh man, but you want to talk to us. We got a game tonight. By the way, just quick mention here. And I hate to say quick mention because I can talk all
guys.
Day. But still, my guys?
The Rangers.
My guys.
No, I told you, man. Like, we all won New York Strong. We just got to get one. We don't care who get it. We need a championship, son.
Go New York, go! The Rangers avoided going down 0-3 to a really good Carolina Hurricanes team. And they did so with their top line, once again, Kreider, Zibanejad, like performing. You need your best players playing their best. It's nice that the kid line can generate some offense. You like to see that. And obviously the goalie, Igor Shesterkin, you know, is playing well. But in the end, if your best players aren't leading the way, they're not good enough to just rely on, just roll them out four lines at a time. No, you're not that good. You have to have your stars playing great. They did in this game, and they were home, and it worked for their advantage. But I'll tell you what, when it was 2-1 and they took the penalty with about 6 minutes to go in the third period, don't tell me, if you're a Ranger fan, don't tell me you were like, oh, God, here we go again. Like game one all over again, right? They're going to tie it up. We're going to go to overtime. We're going to lose. It didn't happen. And that was critical. A big kill, and then the empty netter there that locked it up. So 2-1 now, and the Rangers stay alive, and now they've got to even this thing up to keep this series going when they head it back to Carolina.
If I'm the Rangers coach, I'm lying to them. Say, hey, guys, really, we should be up 2-1. What are we talking?
Right.
We should be up 2-1. So
well,
listen,
dude,
you lied to them. You say, hey, listen, that first game, that was on us. They didn't beat us. We beat ourselves. Just a little bit of focus. Now, let's go into this, tie this thing up, because we're the better team, and eventually the better team wins in a 7-game series. You got to keep lying to them, son.
Can I also make a request to ESPN? Can I get Bob Wischusen on the call for game 4, please? I mean, Bob Wischusen, I know he's the voice of the Jets. You know him. But Bob Wischusen calls such a great hockey game. And no offense to Sean McDonough.
No, it is offense. Keep it real. Take the gray out. No, you want to hear the best.
I just think with shooting,
you want to hear the best.
I think he
you
calls
hear
a great
the best.
Game.
You want to hear the best.
He calls a great game. He does. He calls a great game. He's got the voice for it. Is everything the passion's behind it? He keeps up with the speed of the game. There's just something energetic about Bob Wischusen when he calls a hockey game that I never knew he had in him.
Yeah,
like, you know, he's terrific. Obviously, when he calls football, he's very good. But I like, it's a whole new dimension of him that I didn't know, and I need him on game 4.
Can Bart
is it wrong for me to ask for that? I want him on game 4. Yeah. Make it happen, Bart.
Tell you what, on a whole nother thing, you know what I'm saying? I'm going to call Brain, tell him, hey, man, listen, you need to step up. You know what I'm saying? Act like Pedro Serrano. You know what I'm saying?
Hmm?
Big Marbles, like, yo, I'm calling this game straight up. Just go to the booth and say, kick me out. You know what I'm saying? Straight like that.
Just
lock the door.
Have Susan show up at the Garden.
Yeah, I'm here.
And just stare down McDonough, just say, yeah, I'm taking over. I'm the captain now.
But I'm telling you what, right? Also, listen, I see something happening.
What?
Jimmy G said he'll go anywhere.
Yeah.
Jimmy G to Carolina. I see it how it's going to happen.
Why all of a sudden this is just – you're just going to drop this with like a minute ago?
He just said it today.
On the show.
He just said it today. He just said it today. And what they have to give them in return, they can give him a receiver, right? They can give him a receiver.
Who?
I don't know. Pick
what do you
one.
You don't know?
I mean, they can give him Terrence Marshall Jr., which, right? You know what I'm saying? But he only in his second year. You're not trading Robbie Anderson. You're not changing DJ Moore.
But if you're the Niners, you have Trey Lance, and then what's your safety net?
Listen, they're going to if Jimmy
CJ
G wants
Beathard,
up.
Who's
listen,
their,
listen,
who's
listen,
their
listen.
Straight?
I'm giving them Sam Darnold. No, ugh. No. I'm gonna take some of the cash. I'm gonna give him Sam Darnold as insurance, right?
Right.
West Coast guy, and I'm gonna go ahead and give him a receiver, and that's all you get.
So,
like,
Sam
you got to get rid
Darnold's
of him anyway.
Safety net behind Trey Lance if Trey Lance isn't ready.
Yeah.
Like or just struggles.
He's just there. He's a veteran that's been in his league. With that running game, Sam Darnold will be okay. He'll be fine.
Wow.
With that type of running game, he'll be fine.
All right.
Watch it happen. Watch it happen. See, you don't believe me. All right,
Mr. T, give me your prediction tonight. Game 4, Celtics, Heat. No Tyler Hero for the Heat. What is your prediction?
Pain. Boston. Boston big. Boston big because Jimmy Buck is – Jimmy Knee ain't going to be right. And if it's right this game, it ain't going to be right next game. If he play all this game, he going to be out next game. You only can shoot that thing up so many times.
Got to watch Jason Tatum in this game as well. Huge one for him. Coverage begins 8 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio. Great job. See you tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Barton Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN+. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.